In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, I'm sure you're familiar with this episode from the Gospels, where the sons of thunder, Saints James and Saint John, approached our Lord to ask him that they might reign with him when he would attain to his kingdom, that they might sit on his right hand and on his left hand. And our Lord, upon receiving this question, he just didn't tell them no. But he said to them, "Can you be baptized with the baptism wherewith I am to be baptized?" And they said, "Yes, we can." You see that in this request of Saints James and John, there is this desire to be identified with our Lord, to be so associated with our Lord that they cannot be separated from him, that they want to sit with him in his kingdom and abide with him forever. They want to be always with him. Of course, there's certainly a mixture of worldly ambition in there. Their intentions are not the purest. At the same time, they do want to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the ambition that we must have. We must want to be identified with our Lord, to be associated with him for all time, for all eternity. If we do not have this desire, we're certainly lost. Our Lord says to St. James and John, he says, "You don't know what you're asking for." And then he proceeds to tell them what they need to do to have their request granted. And he predicts that they will indeed accomplish what is necessary. They need to be baptized with the baptism that he is to be baptized. And he says they will do it. They will do it, though they need some more preparation. And so you see in this scene really three stages of the development of a soul. First of all, this desire to be identified with our Lord. Secondly, you begin to understand what's necessary to accomplish it, the means to achieve this end that you desire. And then thirdly, you take the means. You do what's required to accomplish that end. Let's just say in passing that there are very few who even make it to the first step of these three stages. Very few who even have a desire to be identified with our Lord, to spend time with our Lord, and much less to be associated with him for all eternity. Who wants to be completely identified with Jesus Christ? Is not such a one, certainly today, but in fact in all times, to consider to be some sort of religious fanatic, considered to be a fool? What are you doing with your time? Spending time going to church, spending time praying, spending so much time focused on our Lord. Aren't you being a bit obsessive? But we could certainly respond, no, who is the fool here? Who is the fool? Is it the saints who are fools because they became fools for Christ? Or is it the worldlings who are fools because they become fools for the world? Either way, in a sense, you become a fool. Which is the better choice? No, we above all, we must have this burning desire to be identified with our Lord Jesus Christ. We above all people must understand the wisdom of Christ and the folly of the world and choose the one and reject the other. But to do this is difficult. Can you be baptized with the baptism wherewith I am to be baptized? Of course, our Lord's speaking about his death. He's talking about his crucifixion. And see, you see from this that it's not enough for him to die. We also have to die in order to be associated with him. If he dies for us, we can't just look from a distance and applaud and be very happy about that. We also have to go and be associated with him. If he dies and moves towards us, but we do not move towards him, then there's no identification. There's no association. And we remain separated for all eternity. This is why he says to us, "He who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. We have to live the life of Christ. We have to, in a sense, repeat the life of Christ in our life. And so our Lord says, follow me. And he knows it's a difficult path to follow. And so he just doesn't offer this invitation and walk off with his cross. But he also provides us the means that we need. We so desperately need the strength necessary to carry this cross. We do not have this strength. And so he provides us with very powerful means to enable us to carry the cross. The sacraments and the Mass, above all, are the most powerful means. And so with St. Thomas the Apostle, once we have this desire of identifying ourselves with Christ, we have to say, let us go and die with him. I want to be with him, and I understand that the way to do it, the only way to do it, is to follow the path of the cross, be crucified with him. How do we do this? Well, firstly, we have to be baptized. This is the beginning. In the sacrament of baptism, it's not just that sin is wiped away, but we are expected to sort of switch sides. We're expected to change our allegiance. Up to that point, we've been under the dominion of the devil. And then we're baptized. And, well, we associate ourselves with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are brought into the life of Christ himself. We begin to live the life of Christ, which is the life of grace. St. Paul explains the signification of baptism in his epistle to the Romans. In the early church, the way they baptized was they would have people walk down into a pool. And when they got down there, they would be dunked in the water. And then they would walk out the other side. And all of this was a symbol, St. Paul says to us. He says, we die with Christ in baptism. We are associated with Christ in baptism. Such that you go down into the tomb, and then you're buried, and then you rise up, and you walk out the other side. So it's as if you've put aside your old life that you had when you walked into the baptismal font, and you take on a new life, which is the life of Christ. So it's just as he was buried, died and was buried, and rose to a new life, so we too, in baptism, that is what is supposed to happen to us. We're supposed to live according to a different mode of life. We're supposed to walk in newness of life, says St. Paul. So baptism is supposed to be the beginning of this new life, a life where we're elevated to a supernatural level, and so we're able to perform activities like those of Christ. We're supposed to be able to perform Christ-like things. And the primary Christ-like thing to be done is carrying the cross. In the Gospel of Luke, our Lord says that the cross has a role to play in our lives every single day. Every single day. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Every single day. The baptized soul has the supernatural life of Christ flowing in his veins. And you have to understand that this life of grace, this grace that we receive from the cross of Christ, is not like the grace that Adam received. You see that when Adam was created by God, grace was poured into his soul. But this grace that he received was not a grace coming from the cross of Christ. It was just grace coming from heaven, we may say. But after sin, man lost grace. We lost this grace from heaven. And we had to get grace by a new way, by a new path. And this new way was through the cross of our Lord. All the grace that we receive comes from the cross of our Lord. And because it comes from the cross of our Lord, we may say that it has a different quality, has a different flavor, a different effect from the grace that Adam received. This grace has the taste of wood, the taste of nails, the taste of blood in it. It has the taste of Christ suffering humanity. Now the grace that was in the soul of our Lord directed him towards his mission of dying on the cross for us. It inclined him powerfully, we may say, towards the cross. It attracted him to the cross. This was his mission on this earth. But the thing is, I also have a mission. You also have a mission on this earth. Our Lord was given a mission by the Father, and you're given a mission by the Father. You're given a role, something to perform on behalf of Holy Mother Church, on behalf of the souls entrusted to you. And when it comes to this mission, you are given graces to perform it. And these graces incline you to the cross, quite simply, because they are Christian graces. They are graces that come from the cross of Christ. Life before baptism is life with the cross, but without the power to carry the cross. Life after baptism is life with the cross, but with the power to carry it as Christ carried his cross. Note that grace gives us the power to carry the cross, and even the inclination to carry the cross. But it doesn't mean that we'll use that power. It doesn't mean that necessarily we will walk in this newness of life just because we're given that grace. We have to cooperate. We have to correspond to this grace. We have to accept our Christian mission. We have to accept the mission of the Father. We have to be willing to say, yes, I understand why I'm here on this earth. I understand what it means to be identified with Christ. I understand what I need to do in order to imitate him. And I want to perform this mission. That is what we say. We do say that we want to be identified with Christ. We do say that we want to do whatever is necessary. We have all the resources at hand, all the things that we need to accomplish it. Well then, pick up your cross and accept it. You must make use of the means that are given to you. You must make use of the Mass. When you go to Mass, you unite yourself with the sacrifice of the cross. We have represented with every Mass the sacrifice that our Lord performed on our behalf. And because you have the character of baptism in your soul, you have the power to unite with the sacrifice of the cross. You have the power to unite with the sacrifice being offered. The priest is the primary agent in the offering, but the faithful are meant to unite with him in that offering. That's why the priest, several times during the Mass, he speaks of the sacrifice as being our sacrifice. He says that in the offertory, he turns and he says to you, "Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty." You are meant to unite with the sacrifice of the cross, and by doing that, by coming to Mass, gain that strength necessary to go out and imitate it, perform it, replicate the sacrifice of the cross in your own life. You must make use of the Blessed Sacrament. When you come to the communion rail and you receive our Lord into your body, well, you are partaking of the humanity of our Lord. You're partaking of that humanity that suffered on the cross. Of course, our Lord's divinity is there as well. They cannot be separated. But the point is, you partake of the flesh by which you were redeemed, the flesh that suffered for you, that died for you. And by assimilating this food into your soul, you are given the power to do the same thing that our Lord did,
You become more like Him through the sacrament, the Blessed Sacrament. You consume our Lord, but in a sense are transformed by Him, coming into you, transformed into another Christ. And as I say, another Christ means another crucified.
And of course, when it comes to the priesthood, by the sacrament of holy orders, the priest receives a character by which he participates in the priesthood of our Lord. And the priesthood of our Lord consists of a twofold role. Our Lord came to offer a victim to the Heavenly Father and to be that victim that was offered. And so the priest above all is called to this imitation of Christ in carrying the cross. He's called to be the one above all who offers the victim and is the victim at the same time.
So my dear faithful, we are meant to identify ourselves with Christ. We're meant to have this desire, this great desire, to be with Christ, to reign with Christ for all eternity. But we only do this by accomplishing the exact same mission that He accomplished. We only do it by being baptized with the same baptism. And you have to understand this. We have to understand this clearly. This is the only way. I don't make this up. This is what God has designed. Our path to salvation is by imitating the path of the cross.
What usually happens when we receive the cross? Do we draw upon the grace of our baptism? Do we reflect upon the loving sufferings of our Savior? Do we think, I'm being called upon to fulfill a mission? This is the point why I'm here on this life, to imitate Christ. Do we see it as a great opportunity to follow that call, to answer that call, to achieve things that have an impact for all eternity? No, in fact, quite often we rebel, we get angry, we try to avoid the cross, we try to run away from it, we try to push it from us.
In the trials of our daily life, certain misunderstandings, conflict of personalities, arguments, disagreements, sicknesses, economic difficulties, bad weather.
All of these things. A Catholic in such situations, in these situations that every human being experiences, must learn how to react in a totally different way from those of the world, must learn to live according to a totally different wisdom, must learn to want these things, not in his lower nature. We will always recoil from the cross in our lower nature, of course. This is what's shown to us in the agony of the garden. Our Lord did not want the cross in his lower nature. But the point is, in our higher faculties, and especially in the act of faith, we must accept. How can we change complaint to acceptance? How can we change repugnance to desire, cowardice to courage? St. Louis de Montfort says, "A friend of the cross is one chosen by God from among thousands who live only according to their reasons and senses, chosen to be wholly divine, raised above mere reason and inspired by a deep love of the cross." On this feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, let us excite in ourselves this desire of embracing the cross. Let us try to reflect upon the mission to which we've been called as Christians and inspire ourselves to a greater acceptance of this mission. Dear Lord, make me such a friend of your holy cross. You did not run away from it when it was presented to you. You embraced the cross in order to give me eternal life. Give me the strength to embrace the cross
so that I too may have this eternal life and be with you forever.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.